This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I am Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck.
And it's Sadie's night, and we mentioned this on our Patreon episode, but our grandmother is in her final days. Yes. So if things are weird, off, anyway, it's just because my dear sister has not slept in a while and is dealing with mortality, staring her straight in the face. As will I be as of tomorrow. So, you know, life is happening to us and we're all just going to have to roll with it.
I know. It feels sort of funny in some ways to like not take a break from the podcast, but I kept checking in with myself and I was like, I really just want to keep doing it. So
yeah,
here we are. Yep. Give our little Wilma Eck some love. She's on her way out, 97 years old.
She's been here for 100 years, you guys. What the fuck? Yep. She's a badass.
So true. So
yeah, she grabbed me by my shoulders when I was about to graduate high school and looked me in the eye with this insane amount of urgency and said, don't ever do anything that you don't want to do. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you need to do something that you don't want to do. I was like, done and done, Grandma. So please allow me to pass that on to you guys.
Yes.
Courtesy of Wilma Eck.
Yep.
Don't do it. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about something much, much worse.
So much worse.
What is it?
This is the LeBaron and Langford family massacre. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was formed in the early 1800s. And for most of these early decades, polygamy was an important part of their religious practices. The problem was, polygamy was, and still is, illegal in the United States. In fact, the reason Mormon leader Brigham Young chose to settle the church in Utah was partly because the territory at the time was part of Mexico and had little to no oversight from the government. Mm-hmm. In 1848, Mexico ceded this territory to the United States, and Utah became a state in 1896. In 1904, the LDS Church outlawed the practice to better align with U.S. government, which caused many members of the church to branch off and become fundamentalist Mormons, or FLDS, who continued to practice polygamy. It also caused a mass exodus of many of these families to Mexico or Canada, where they were less likely to face prosecution. According to the Washington Post, quote, generations later, U.S.-Mexico border towns remain home to communities of fundamentalist Mormons. Many Mormons living in Mexico speak both English and Spanish and hold dual citizenship. Two of these families, the LeBarons and the Langfords, had been living in Mexico since the 1920s, so they could continue their religious beliefs without being arrested. Each family established homesteads. One is named Rancho Lamora in the state of Sonora, which is located about 70 miles south of Douglas, Arizona. And the other is Colonia LeBaron, located in the state of Chihuahua. Quote, they purchased land in the states of Sonora and Chihuahua and set up ranches in other colonias. They thrived as pecan farmers, grew wheat, planted apple and pomegranate orchards, and produced honey to sell at farmers markets. By the 1950s, the Mormon enclaves had populations in the high hundreds to low thousands.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah. It also sounds ideal. Northern Mexico, like farming and honey and all of it.
Fucking get me started.
Yep. Today, Lamora contains 30 to 40 homes on about 1,000 acres and has a full-time population of about 150 people. There are many other groups of independent Mormons throughout northern Mexico as well, each practicing their own interpretation of the Book of Mormon. These families will intermarry, so there is a connection between them through family ties, and travel between their homesteads is very common and happens frequently. Mm-hmm. So I thought all of this was very interesting. Like, I just didn't really realize yeah. that was happening. And so each family basically has their own set of beliefs, and some are more fundamentalist and more relaxed. It just sort of depends, but they are sort of connected because they, you know, bounce from family to family.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, super interesting. I had no idea. Yeah.
Many of these families have become targets for kidnappings and other violence as the drug cartels moved into the area.
Yep. It's
become so bad in the past decade that children who used to have free reign of the rural area of Mexico now are mostly kept indoors for their safety.
Holy shit.
On November 4th, 2019, three women, Renita Miller, Christina Langford, and Donna Langford, along with 14 of their children, were in a three-car convoy driving on dirt roads that run through the Sierra Madre Mountains, which are described as, quote, remote, rocky, and cold. These roads are under the control of the cartel and very dangerous. Quote, the vast, mostly deserted area between Sonora and Chihuahua has long been a battleground for the local cartels, who use it to reach the lucrative Arizona market. But these women weren't worried. This was a trip they took often. They had lived in the area for their entire lives and believed that God would protect them. Besides, what could the cartel possibly want with a bunch of unarmed women and children?
Totally.
One of the women was on her way to Phoenix to pick up her husband from the airport, while the other two were heading to Chihuahua for a wedding. During their trip, Renita, who had four of her children with her, 12-year-old Howard, 10-year-old Crystal, and 8-month-old twins, Titus and Tiana, had car troubles and fell behind the other two cars. Christina ended up at the front of the convoy. She had left her other five children at home for this trip, but brought her 7-month-old daughter, Faith, along because she was still breastfeeding. Donna followed close behind and had 7 of her children in the car with her.
I don't like it.
Trigger warning, you guys. I'm leaving out the details, like the graphic stuff, but this is rough.
Oof.
So exactly what happened that terrible day is a little fuzzy, but what we do know is that not too long into their trip, the women, who are all driving large white SUVs with tinted windows, ended up in a hailstorm of bullets.
What the fuck?
Renita and her children, including the 8-month-old twins, were killed first. It's believed that the SUV she was driving was so badly damaged by the overwhelming number of rounds shot into it that it burst into flames.
Wow.
Once the fire was put out, only charred human remains were left of the family. An hour later, Christina and Donna were attacked as well.
An hour later?
Yeah, because Renita had car trouble.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
So she was stuck behind them, and they kept going.
Oh, no.
So they were separated. Yeah. So an hour later, Christina and Donna were attacked as well. When the gunfire started, it said that Christina, who had her infant with her, jumped out of the car and waved her arms frantically to show the gunmen that she was not a threat. But it was too late, and she was killed almost as soon as she was out of the car, with 2 shots through her heart.
No.
Donna was also killed by the gunfire while still in her car, along with 2 of her sons, 11-year-old Trevor and 2-year-old Rogan.
Jesus.
Her 5 remaining children, some of them badly injured, managed to flee the car and hide in the nearby bushes. Injured and traumatized, the children hid, but Donna's son, 13-year-old Devin Langford, knew he had to go for help. He covered his siblings with tree branches.
Oh my God, that's going to kill me.
Hoping to keep them well hidden, and started walking the 14 miles back to Lamora for help. And we're not talking 14 straight miles. I mean, 14 miles period is a very long way.
Yes.
This is through the mountains in cartel territory of Mexico with nothing like... Oh, the kid.
This is like a bad movie, you know? A movie that I would watch and I'd be the like, worst. Wow, some racist wrote this movie because this is so over the top and explosive and like exploitive.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, and unfortunately, like the cartel is just awful.
Yeah. Relentless, ruthless.
Yeah. And not a reflection of the Mexican people by any means.
Nope.
This would take the boy over 6 hours, but he was able to make it back to Lamora and alert the people there that something terrible had happened and that his siblings desperately needed help.
Unbelievable.
No, chills, 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 chills.
So much.
Devin, dude, yep. Oh my God, you are yep. incredible.
Yep.
When they arrived at the scene, what they found could only be described as hellish. And like I said, I'm going to spare you the graphic details, but it was upsetting enough to me that I almost didn't cover the case. It was one of those wow. where I was going through the yep. articles and I was like, okay, never mind.
You're right.
So if you want to know what it was like, you can go read that somewhere.
I think I will just skip right on over those yes. details.
Yeah. But cartels are known for a certain type of violence, and it was on full display here.
Yeah.
They were able to find three of Devin's siblings still hiding in the bushes, but his what? 9-year-old... Yeah. Yep. So three of the siblings were still hiding in the bushes, but his 9-year-old sister was gone. After waiting 6 hours for help, she became worried that something had happened to Devin, so she took off on foot to look for help herself.
Oh my God.
9 years old.
I can't.
Thank the good Lord, she was found an hour and a half later, still walking, but she had taken a wrong turn and was headed down a road that would not have led back to Lamora.
Oh my God.
Thank God they found her.
Can you imagine seeing no. her little body there?
Oh my God, no. While searching the rest of the scene, they came across something miraculous. Christina's 7-month-old baby, Faith, was still buckled into her car seat and had been placed on the floorboards in the back seat of the SUV.
What?
She had a small graze wound on her head, but was otherwise unharmed.
Wow.
It's believed that Christina moved Faith to the floorboards of the car before she tried to stop the gunman from shooting, an act that saved her baby's life.
Holy shit, that is incredible.
As the victims' families planned funerals and grieved their loved ones, the Mexican government did little to nothing to hold those who committed these murders accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Almost from the moment the news broke of the attacks, the Mexican government claimed that the killings were a case of mistaken identity.
Mm.
They said a small armed group of cartels supposedly carried out the ambush and confused the SUVs of women and children with a convoy of their rivals.
I'm sure.
Saying the fact that the gunman allowed some of the children to escape is evidence of the cartel's realization that a mistake had been made. Mm. But this theory was immediately rejected by the victims' families and by the children who survived the terrible violence that day.
Oh no.
Because the SUVs had been split up and there was an hour between the two attacks, there was plenty of time for the gunmen to realize it was only women and children in those vehicles.
Good point.
They believe the cartel was sending the Mormon community a clear message to stop interfering with their organized crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So although this act of violence was especially heinous, this is not the first time these Mormon communities have been targeted by the cartel. Drug-related violence in cartel-controlled areas of Mexico began to worsen in late 2005. As cartels began to expand, they also splintered into different groups and spread into new parts of Mexico. In 2009, the Mormon communities in the northern states of Mexico were warned that they were living in a lawless land.
Mm.
Like, the yeah. government just sent letters to them. Like, right. literally, like,
they're
you are...
too powerful. Yeah, sorry. Yes.
Like, you are here, you gotta get out. Even though you've been here since the 1920s, well before the cartel ever was here.
Right.
But you too stay, bad. You're yep. on your own.
They're your government now. Good luck.
Yep. Yeah.
Fuck. Ugh.
That same year, 16-year-old Eric LeBaron was kidnapped by traffickers and held for $1 million ransom. Mm. The family chose not to pay and instead became very vocal about the violence caused by the cartel and organized multiple protests to demand the release of Eric.
Holy shit. Wow, mm-hmm. that is some behold. I would be like, whatever no. you want. Here's my house. Yes. Here's my cars. Here's my soul.
Yes, I am in Utah now. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yep. One of the members of the LeBaron family, Benjamin LeBaron, who was the great-grandson of the group's founder and Eric's brother, Eric who got kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
was the one who led the protests and also created a group called SOS Chihuahua, which urged towns to speak out about the violence done to them and called out Mexican authorities to take control back from those involved in organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
These tactics worked, and Eric was returned to his family physically unharmed after only a week.
What? I am shocked by that.
Yes. Yep. They caused enough stink that they were like, okay, here you go. Sorry. Wow. don't get in our business. Here's your kid back.
Wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the cartel was not willing to let Benjamin have the last word. And 2 months after Eric was returned, Benjamin and his brother-in-law, Luis Carlos Widmer, were dragged from their home by a group of armed men and were found shot to death a short time later. The LeBaron family would later learn the local police joined forces with the cartel, which allowed Benjamin and Luis to be murdered.
Oh, fuck. And that's the thing. It's like, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's all one and the same.
A huge part of their power. Exactly.
The men responsible for these murders were known but never arrested. They still walk free today.
Fuck.
The LeBarons continue to speak out against organized crime, and in 2011, they, quote, met with the president of Mexico for a historic, if mostly ineffective, series of public conversations about the Mexican government's strategy against the country's criminal organizations. So they managed to get the president of Mexico to meet with them.
Right, but it didn't work.
Right. Well, no.
But didn't change anything.
No.
Yeah. They say he's physically present, but that's all.
Right. Yeah. He talks a big talk. Yeah, but right. the bottom line is the cartel is just too powerful.
So powerful.
They say the terrible massacre that killed the LeBaron and Langford women and children is just a continuation of this violence and a clear message from the cartel that they are still very much in control. Even with the added pressure coming from the United States, because the victims were all dual citizens, little has been done to get justice for these families. Mm. After the attack, good old President Trump took to Twitter to offer Mexico military help. And so Trump's like, hey, I'll come in and take care of this problem.
Yeah, right? That always like works. That always works, you guys. Like, let's look at history. 100% right? Success when we intervene every time.
Yeah, not a problem.
We don't destroy countries and like make it significantly fucking worse. No, and also, and just, you know,
murder civilians and
right. And also, like, we didn't play a hand at strengthening these cartels in the first place back in the day.
Bingo. Yeah. So after President Trump's tweet, Alex LeBaron, another spokesman and activist of the family, replied with his own tweets to Trump, quote, "Want to help? Focus on lowering drug consumption in the United States," he tweeted. Yep. "Want to help some more? Stop the ATF and gun law loopholes that from systemically injecting high-powered assault weapons to Mexico."
Yep.
Bingo.
Bingo. Bingo,
Alex. Trump didn't respond to LeBaron, and Mexico's president declined Trump's offer, saying, quote, "It's up to us to fix this." The Mexican government has plans in place to have a new National Guard base near the Lamora Ranch, as well as building a new long-requested highway, which will cut the journey time to the U.S. border by several hours, hopefully making the trip not just faster but safer.
Mm-hmm.
They also made plans for a monument to the women and children who died, like that. So that president came in and was like, okay, here, I'll give you a road and
statue.
A base and a statue.
Sorry about your entire family. Here's a statue.
Despite the Mexican authorities' promise to crack down on cartel violence, each year since 2019 has gotten increasingly more violent. Quote, "Competition between cartels has intensified despite the coronavirus lockdown, and new splinter groups from established cartels have proved willing to use even more violent tactics to get what they want."
Civilians. That is terrifying. That is just terrifying.
Yes.
They're already so fucking violent. It's like.
Yes.
Ugh.
Right. You don't have to ump the ante, y'all. You don't have to do it. Please don't do it. Please. Civilians have too often been caught in between. A year after the massacre, around 2/3 of the families living at the Lamora Ranch have left, most of them setting up base in southern Utah. Those that chose to stay say the drug gangs are simply an accepted part of daily life in Sonora. They nod as they pass by cartel gunmen. They might know their names and do what they can to live peacefully alongside a very violent group of people.
So that's just absolutely wild.
Mm-hmm. In total, 4 men have been arrested for the massacre, but it's widely believed to be just for show. The LeBaron and Langford families do not feel as though justice has been served, and that won't happen until cartel violence ends altogether.
Yep.
In the end, the question of whether the attack on the Mormon community was an error or deliberate isn't the point. It's clear the reason for the ambush was to terrorize the people in the region and to make it very clear who's in total control of this northern region in Mexico.
Yep.
And that's all I got for you today, y'all.
Damn it. Don't do cocaine, everyone. First of all, you could probably die from it now. It's extremely dangerous. But then also, it's literally the reason that these communities are being terrorized and people are dying and the government has lost control of the country. Yeah. Don't do it.
Please, just don't do it. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
So it's sad.
It's so bad and so out of control. And that is, it's just freaky to think about, because it's just getting more powerful, right? So like, what is the end? Where's the end? You know, it's not getting any better. It's getting significantly more worse. And that beautiful country, like, what? It's just scares the shit out of me. You know, it scares me so badly for the people that that's what they have to live with, and that there's no signs of stopping or slowing in any way, as far as I'm aware. Maybe I'm wrong. But
what I gathered is that the new president of Mexico won on his, like, I'm going to crack down, but I'm not going to use violence. I'm going to use, like, prevention. But that hasn't worked. Like, it's just not working. He's not able to follow through. And I don't know what the answer is. They are so powerful and so violent and have so many guns from the United States and so much money. And the appeal to make more money, I don't know. It's it is not good.
Well, Gen Z, it's up to you guys to not like cocaine. I don't know what to say.
Can TikTok fix the cartel problem?
Probably. I mean, really, it really is going to have to. It's always about fucking money. We talk about this all the time. It really is going to come down to money. If they can get less rich, then there is a slight chance that they could become less powerful. But in the meantime, there's just way too much incentive for them to do that, to be that fucking powerful and terrifying. So we really all just have to commit to not using cocaine. Just have to do it. Just say no. It's just not worth it. What a gross drug anyway. But it's just, don't do it. Please.
No, but those poor families. I remember hearing about this. I think it was happened right before Courtney and I went to Mexico, before COVID. And I remember hearing about that and being like, what in the world? Like, I couldn't understand why there was a bunch of Mormon women driving through Mexico in the first place, and then why they got gunned down. And I was hoping for more, like, concrete information or, like, theories or conspiracies or... But it really, I just think it comes down to the cartel does whatever the fuck they want. And they don't want the Mormon communities to be meddling in their shit. And so they are not opposed to massacring babies to do
women
that.
And children. It's the perfect,
and it worked.
It's the perfect, they left.
The Mormons are like, okay, we hear you, we are gone. That's was
so sad. That's so
awful,
fucking sad.
I mean, we're not going to get into all the ways that the Mormon religion is troublesome, but regardless, like, they were just trying to do their thing and farm, and live their lives the way they want to. And
And that's a whole other fucking conversation. Like, why are we not letting Mormon people just marry whoever the fuck they want? That's weird. Like, who cares? Why do we care so much?
I don't know.
I can't think of a single good reason for restricting them from marrying all the wives.
Right. Because if you can let that happen, then you don't have fucking terrible things like, you know, the men marrying the children, and like, you can
exactly
I mean, that's living in secret and right.
That just sets up, it just sets them up for secrecy,
right?
And then it sets them up for people who have very bad intentions to rise to power and do terrible things.
But consensual relationships between adults,
they just seem to
100 so fine. That should be okay.
It seems like a total win-win. It's like, the women are like, fuck pass them around, fine, you know, it's great. Raise the kids
long
together
for a sister wife all the time, please. Come help me. Yeah. Like the week I've had right now where I'm just fully immersed in helping my grandma and I have children and like,
yeah.
I was telling Courtney earlier, I was just looking around my house and it's like, I'm not the tidiest. I don't really care too much day to day, but I do like to have a clean house and my house is disgusting right now. It's so, but it's, you know, like you can't do everything.
Right? No, you can't.
I had a sister wife.
On a good day.
Yeah. My house would be clean if I had a sister wife or two.
Yeah. When we have our girlfriends come stay the weekend, like our one friend Kitty was here like 4th of July and fuck man, this place stays spick and damn span. Like, everybody just like fans out and takes care of business. It's the fucking best. Women know how to multitask like crazy. Mm-hmm. Put on a cool pop tune. Mm-hmm. Laura always says, you want to put on a pop tune? So that's why
it comes out. So cute.
Yeah, put on some music. Somebody cooks, somebody cleans, somebody just sets the mood. You know? Yeah, women rule. We should all be in families together. And if you want to marry one man, who cares? I mean, is there a good argument against it other than just pure control? And like men like wanting to make sure there's enough women to go around or something. I don't know.
I can't think of a single reason why it shouldn't be allowed.
I
can't either.
I know. It's ridiculous. People are ridiculous. Yep. They need to grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us what we don't know about polygamy that's bad. Because I'm sure there's something that people will be like, oh my God, you don't know about.
Right. And we're not talking about the Mormon religion in general and like the problems that have arisen. But
No, just
specifically,
in general.
What is the issue?
Yes.
With one man, other than maybe, you know, the control of the women. It could be consensual.
It could also be a one woman marrying multiple men. It could be, you know, like families should just be able to, you can just marry who you want. It could be all dudes. If seven dudes want to get married together, do it. Like, why not?
Exactly.
I don't know. Tax reasons?
Well, that's not a good reason. But yeah, if there's a moral failing here, if there's a harm, if people are in danger, Sadie loves taxes.
No. For the record, I'm not saying that taxes would be a good reason to limit it. I'm just thinking is that maybe the motivation for the government to control it.
Right.
No, we've got to protect our tax code, guys.
It's like, first and foremost, listen. You shouldn't be living in Mexico anyway because you're probably not paying your taxes. And Sadie has a serious issue with that. Yeah, no, I'm 99.9% sure it's just control, just like everything else. Because, they got to have a reason to control us and pit us against each other. Right. And so,
well, if you let that happen, then you can't let the gays get married. Oops, whoops.
Exactly. So, can't have let anybody have
a slippery slope. Exactly.
God. Well, thank you for covering that one because it is one that I don't know much about because of COVID, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Like that one just kind of slipped right off of my radar because a pandemic took over. But
yeah,
that blows. It's so sad.
So sad. So, got stuff for us?
I do. I have some really good names, you guys.
Oh, we need. I need
hard them. Transition. Hard. Like this could not be a more abrupt. From cartel massacre of women and children to hilarious names. But you know what? We're just going there because the world needs name time now more than ever. And this family needs name time now more than ever.
I do.
It's name time. The only problem is that we're going to record two back to back so that we don't fall behind next week because we're so busy. Also, Patreon, we might have to skip this week and do two next week. Apologies ahead in advance. But we're just like doing the best we can. You will get your episodes, but it might just, you know, timing's delayed. a little funny. Oh my God. So somebody said they sent a handful of names. The first one is Macon Bacon. First and
this
middle
is a
name.
Person?
Macon
a human
Bacon.
Being is yes. named Macon Bacon.
First and middle, but yes, they are Macon Bacon.
Do we know their last name? Probably
no,
not,
I do not know their last
because
name.
That would be too easy to identify. That's amazing.
This one is really good because they said The second one is Richard Eaton. So Dick Eaton. Yeah. And they said that the case of the man who was killing women and got rescued in a snowstorm by signaling SOS, the Bobby Oberholzer and Annette Schnee, one of my favorite cases.
Yeah.
So she said that case had a detective named Richard Eaton, and she was waiting for us to catch it, but we didn't.
Oh,
good
no.
one. How did Award not... winning. God. Good work. Dick Eaton. Detective Dick Eaton.
Dick Eaton. I'm making a mental note that anytime I write a story with the name Richard in it, as long as it's not the victim, that I'll remember what, like, if it's funny, because Richard means Dick.
Well done, though. Kudos.
Yes, that's incredible.
Incredible. Somebody said, my boyfriend's cousin had a baby recently, and his wife let him choose a middle name. Now their daughter is named Penelope Superpowers.
Oh, that is perfect.
Yeah. They said, a different cousin with the last name Dammitz, Dammitz, which...
Mm-hmm.
How do you get that luck of the draw?
He just
damn it. Did not have the same luck getting permission from his wife to give their newborn the middle name God.
Oh, wait. He wanted to give the baby
the middle name
middle
God.
Name God so and the wife was like, no?
Correct.
Okay, I'm making sure.
Yeah. She was like, I cannot send my child to school. Henry God damn it. Or whatever the first name was. Oh my God. There's Whip Mawap Magate Road in York, England.
Wow.
Yep. Whip Mawap Magate. Henry Loggins' children. So we went to see Top Gun, and as the adorable queer, like Gen Z kid who sold us our concessions said, he's like, what are you here to see? And he said, Top Gun. And he said, well, if you came for Top Gun, you're going to leave with Top Gun. And he was right. That shit's great. I don't know why I love Top Gun, the original, so much, but I fucking do.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
It's so good. I don't know why it's so superior to other action movies, but it's got a little bit of everything. So anyway, I was making Laura listen to Kenny Loggins, who is a full-on hitmaker. I didn't realize he did like Caddyshack, Top Gun, Footloose, everything, every song.
Wow.
Everything.
I don't think I knew that either.
Also kind of a hottie. So now I have kind of a thing for Kenny Loggins. His children's names are Hannah Loggins, Isabella Loggins, Lucas Loggins, Cody Loggins, and Crosby Loggins.
I like how you went down a Kenny Loggins rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, I just was like, what's the Caddyshack song? And then I just started researching Kenny Loggins. There's an Uncle Dick's Road. Somebody's sister-in-law's name is Soyla. She married a man with the last name Vaca, making her Soyla Vaca, which in Spanish is pronounced exactly the same as Soy la Vaca, which means I am the cow. Oh my God.
Jeez.
Oh, I heard a band name on the radio yesterday, Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs. I was like, really, Mike Campbell? Okay. A couple more. Charisse Brooks Nimrod.
Ooh.
Once again, with the luck of the draw, like, you get to be Dammitz and you get to be Nimrod. Someone's great-grandmother was Flossie Ball, and here are a few of her sisters who had equally interesting names. Flonnie Ball, Lola Ball, Nola Ball, and her husband's name was Bluford Puckett.
That one just took the wind out of my lungs.
That's what Bluford? I'm like. Bluford Puckett.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, people. Send me your southern names. Send me your Appalachian please. And southern names.
I want to marry that family. I want to polygamy all of them.
I do. They're too. So we don't talk about this enough. We don't talk about the exquisite nature of southern and Appalachian names. But I'm assuming these people are southern. Flossie Ball and Bluford Puckett. I mean, that's...
Oh my God. I've never heard anything better than my life.
No, Flawny is also amazing. Flawny Ball.
All of them.
This set of names came from someone's school. Mrs. Sprinkle. Larry Crary.
Rhyming names all the time.
Rhyming Give names. Me all Southern the rhyming names and rhyming names.
I feel like we're just eventually going to cover every name that's ever been in existence.
You would think that we would run out of names, but now that we do this, like, I'll be watching television, I'm like, what the fuck? Jizzles Salvador, like, what? You know, right? Just like, oh my God. They're everywhere. Harley Cheese Bro. Oh my God.
I think Alicia, that's my new favorite.
It's so good. Alicia Pig. And Nikki Nichols.
Yes.
Two more. These are a couple names that they heard on Piketon Massacre podcast. Judge Patrick Dinklacker. Dinklacker. Dinklacker.
Judge Patrick Dinklacker.
D-I-N-K-E-L-A-C-K-E-R. Yes, and last but not least, that. Rob Junk. So,
that was a well particularly done. Good batch so of well names done. There. Right? You all.
Fucking so fabulous. Fabulous. And like I said, you won't have name time next week because we're literally recording next week's in like 20 minutes. So enjoy, savor those because they got to get you through a whole entire week. But they will be back the week after that. Then we'll have like so many again after that, I'm sure.
Well, and we're hitting a stride over here, getting a lot of new listeners. Welcome if you're new. Yep. We're so happy you found us. And my favorite emails we get for people who start at the beginning and work their way through, we get a lot of, I don't know if you're still doing name time yet.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so excited to tell you yes.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Forever. It's a forever thing. Yes. It never so ends.
Don't worry.
It's a gift that keeps on giving. I have to share a quick funny story. So, like, we are getting bigger because we started doing TikTok, and TikTok works. If you need to promote something, specifically a True Crime podcast, apparently, get your little booty hind on TikTok because that's where all of you have come from. And we love you for it. And TikTok is the thinking man's app. You all know how much I love that app. But if you are coming to us from TikTok, you are even more our people. But it's funny because I posted a couple videos and they've gone very viral. And I've learned a lot about my own appearance. people love, you know, to tell you nice things, generally really nice things. But a lot of people say I look like Nurse Jackie, which I never really thought of, but it is pretty accurate. Uh-huh. Celine Dion comes up a lot, which is... I'm like, so
flattering.
A little long in the face like her. Yep. But the best that just happened recently, I did a video on Blanche Monnier, which is a podcast, a Patreon episode. And Blanche Monnier was put into an attic by her mother. She was a French socialite, like the turn of the 1800s. And her mother put her in an attic for 25 years without like social interaction and or sunlight or anything. And when they found her, she was unrecognizable as like a human, basically. Like she looks like a puppet or something. I mean, she's 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. She was crazy from lack of, you know, human interaction.
Anything. Yeah.
And TikTok has been so kind to point out that I resemble Blanche Monnier.
Which is not true.
But, you know, she's got kind of a handsome, you know, even after seclusion, she sort of has a handsome... I like to say that my general style and, like, what I aspire to look like is Tilda Swinton on vacation. And so any sort of, you know, off-kilter, like, non-traditional beauty, I'm all about it. So right. At first I was like... damn, guys. But then I thought about it and I looked at her for longer and I was like, you know what? I'm actually kind of into it. So thank you, everyone who thinks I look like Blanche Monnier.
I was told that I look like Catherine Martin. No, Brooke Smith. Her name is Brooke Smith, but she plays Catherine Martin in Silence of the Lambs. The one that gets put in the hole.
Which is, you guys, if you do a side by side of Sadie and her, spot fucking on. Mm-hmm. I mean, total doppelganger. I never would have put that together.
No, me neither.
Yeah. They spot are not wrong. On.
Yep.
They are not wrong.
Who do we look like?
TikTok. Guys? And there's Tell Jackie.
Us. Who do we sound like? NPR people we know.
Delicious dish. I mean, that's been well established. Sorghum. Today we're going to talk about brooms.
Did you say brooms or prunes?
Yeah. Brooms. Either, prunes. Either way.
Prunes are good for your poops. Do you want to do some shouts?
Yes, shout outs. Let's do some shout outs.
We got to because we have too many to not do them anymore. Because you guys are amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
If you want to join us, please do. Go to our Patreon. There's 100 and like million episodes, 100 and plus 10 of them or something. Full episodes. We love our patrons so much.
So much. And I want to clarify one thing really quick because there was a comment or two that were like, I'm happy to pay the extra dollar. Like, first of all, everyone's been so congratulatory about the ads and then joining Cloud 10 Network. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're so fucking sweet. But just wanted to clarify that our Patreon will not be affected at all. So you will get ad-free content if you sign up for our Patreon. And if you sign up for, you know, a higher tier, you'll get the bonus content, but we are going to add a $1 tier that is just main feed episodes without ads. So some people, I think, were under the impression that they're going to have to pay an additional dollar on Patreon to not have ads. But to be clear, every single piece of content that is on Patreon will remain ad-free moving forward. So that is a way to have an ad-free experience, but we want to give an option for just main feed episodes without ads at a $1 price, just so that you can have access to that affordably if you really want to not listen to ads. So
yes. Thank you so much to Carrie K.
Carrie K. She makes my day. She makes the day of everyone. Then they say, hey, Carrie K. And it's like she's a cowboy, but also an astronaut. And she is made of stardust and clouds. Carrie Kaye!
Thank you so much to Demelza B.
Oh, please, with the name Demelza. Like, what are you? Do you wear robes everywhere you go? Yeah, like flowing robes, and you are conjuring constantly. You're powerful. Your presence is massive. It's overwhelming almost that it's so, they're so, like, I could feel you from here, like the electricity, the presence, the magnetism, the charisma.
Get it on out of here.
Get on out of here with that name. Fuck. Thank you. And I wish I was you. Point blank.
Done. Good. Steal your name. I mean it. Just steal it right now.
I'm Demelza Eck.
Thank you so much to Rosie N.
Oh my God. Why do people get to be named Rosie? Why? It's like, oh, hello world. Here I am. My name is Rosie. You can go ahead and write songs about me, poems about me. You can put me on advertisements. You can dress me up and put me in a window display. You can put shoes on me and let me tippy tap down the road and everybody's gonna want those shoes. You can accessorize me. You can fucking put me on the news. God, Rosie,
newsworthy,
right?
Get out of here with your adorable name.
They're like, and tonight is, it's just Rosie, and everyone's like,
turn it up, we can't hear Rosie.
Guys, Rosie's on. Yeah, right? I mean, just, your name is Rosie.
You are
the most adored. You're the most adored.
Okay, last but certainly not least, thank you so much to Steph D.
Steph dominates the nation. Steph dominates the station. And Steph doesn't want you to not know that she is the baddest one of them all. And she, or they, if Steph is non-binary, is also the one of all the ones of all the time in and out of this rhyme that is weak. But Steph is not weak, not weak.
Hey, thank you guys.
Oh, love you, geez.
We love you so much.
So much. Thank you for this podcast, universe. Seriously. Thank you.
Yeah, I really cannot tell you enough. It's been a very hard and challenging week with my grandmother, and also a very sweet time. Like, you know, that those times where you're just not going to get it back in lots of ways. But like, you know, it's reminding me a lot of the work I did as a doula. There is something very precious about being, like, very precious about being there when people are giving birth.
Yep.
And it's the same energy as when people die. But the whole time I've been distracted and all, but I just am so excited. I'm so excited about the podcast. Yeah. I don't know. It's just amazing. Like, I guess my point is that to go through this thing with my grandmother, and then to just sort of, I forget sometimes that the podcast is really happening and we're doing really well and this community is here to support us. And
yeah,
I just, you know, it's just incredible.
It is. And the fact that Sadie still wants to do it this week, I think is a testament to how much we love it, because I can tell you my sister has zero capacity for anything, no bandwidth to do anything outside of like general low level base level maintenance right now. So that's how much we love you guys.
I know. I really didn't know if I'd be able to read. I did it.
Yeah. No, you did great too. You did great. But yeah. I'm like, we'll miss him too much. We got to do the podcast. Yeah. Oh, I just love it. It's just the best thing that's ever happened. So thank you guys for being here. Thanks. And if you miss us when we're not around you, you can go find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com. Real quick, I want to acknowledge that somebody sent us a very moving and very tender email about how we helped them in a very dark time of their life. And when you get emails like that, it's like hard to know how to respond without sounding cliche or, you know, corny or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You get an email like that and it just kind of shakes up your life and changes you forever. So I just wanted to acknowledge that one on here, that we saw your email. We cried over your email. We are honored by your email. And we are very fucking glad that you are a part of this world and remain in this world and continue to shine a bright light, because you are supposed to be here.
That's right.
You belong here, and we really fucking hope you stay here.
Absolutely. And remember, even when you feel you're most alone, you are not alone. And I mean that deeply. You're not alone.
Nope.
You need to be here.
Yep. You're just temporarily distracted by bullshit that is life, and it's fucked. Fuck that shit.
Yep. Fuck that shit. Hey.
Do not say fuck you to AJ Bergantz.
For her music? Yeah, no.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy. And rate, review, subscribe.
Yep.
Write
reviews and then subscribe. And thank you to those who have.
Yes, recently. We've had such nice reviews lately. Like, just the best. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I think the rest of you should show those nice reviews up and write even nicer reviews.
Tell me how pretty I am. Go do it now. Quick.
She does not look like Blanche Monnier, but now that you mention it, she kind of does.
She totally does. And remember.
I don't know. Just live life and love each other real hard.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be good.
Yep.
And we love you guys.
Yes, we do. See you on another time.
See you on another time. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.